Okay, we started. This week's parsha is Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh is a rich parsha, 55 mitzvahs in this week's parsha, and much of it, not the majority, but a fair amount of it, talks about idol worship. If you take a look at the first three sources are all coming from the parsha. First is a commandment that we should wipe out. When you get to Israel, you have to get rid of all the idols. They have idols all over the place. They have it's on the mountains. It's under the trees. It's in the valleys. You've got to get rid of it. So it goes through the whole list, and it says that, in fact, any idol you see must be smashed, must be destroyed, because you're going into Israel, there's no idol worship. We're very opposed to idol worship. Later on in the Perek, it says, there will come a time when you go into Israel where you will be successful, and you will, in fact, conquer the land. You'll say, well, no, this is Israel. What's Israel like? In Israel, they worship idols. No, he said, be very careful. Just because you're taking their place in the land of Israel does not mean you should take their place in worshiping their idols. And last, the beginning of the next parak, it's actually closer than the first two were, talks about a little bit more of what our modern religions are. We're going to be focusing on the Judeo-Christian religions, not the Judeo one, the other one. He says, Ki yakum bekirbecha navi ocholim chom v'nasan olecha osam ofeis. If a prophet comes from your midst, and all of a sudden he starts doing miracles, right? He says, look at me, I can walk on water. And son of a gun, so he says, now that you see that I am, let's say hypothetically, a son of God, a prophet of God, now I've got some news for you from God. Let's mix things up a little bit. Let's move Shabbos over to Sunday, right? Let's do all sorts of different things. What's your reaction? Be very careful. Don't listen to what this prophet is telling you. This is all a test. So this idea of false prophets telling us to change our religion, the idea of idol worship, this all, of course, surrounds the question which I'd like to discuss tonight, which is whether Christians and Muslims are considered idol worshippers. And we'll see what the difference is. So if we take a step back and we look at the major religions nowadays outside of Judaism, you will note that by and large, we all have the same God. Islam is monotheistic. By and large, Christianity is monotheistic. The only difference, it's Judaism plus, right? Not only do you have God, but you have a few family members to go with it also, right? Not only do you have God, but, you know, guess what? We have some additional prophets that you may not have heard of. So the question is, when we understand replacing God is considered idol worship, right? I don't believe in God, but rather I believe in Ra, the sun god. I believe in Ralph, the lettuce head. I believe in whatever sketch guy I believe in. That is obviously idol worship. What if I still believe in God, but now I believe in God plus? Is that idol worship or is it just wrong? What? His son. Right? That would be a plus. What? The Holy Goat. Right. 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 So that's the focus, because that's what these religions are. These religions do not replace God, but rather they add to God. So the question is that considered idol worship? Very interesting. The Sefer Yerayim, one of the Rishonim. Yes. So I will start by making it clear that I'm not an expert in other religions. But I imagine they believe that this somehow adds to God. And the fact that you are adding to God, anything that can be added to is not perfect. Right? If I can make it better, it's not perfect. But just because I have a warped vision of God doesn't necessarily make me an idol worshiper. Right? So oftentimes, people have strange ideas, right? And people jump up and say, the person's an apikaris, right? I get around once a year, someone comes over to me and says, if a Bible teacher tells me that the Mabul never happened, is that person an apikaris? The answer is no, they're wrong, I think. But, say apikaris is an overstatement. I will now pause for a moment in order to allow us to begin. What? Is that so? Okay, so the Urayim we mentioned, the Sefer Urayim is one of the Rishonim, and he asks a very interesting question. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord thy God. What type of commandment is that? That's not really a commandment, it's not a demand, it's a statement. Note, I am God, and you're not. So what does it mean? So if you look at the Urayim, he says it's actually talking about this. Ne'amar Anochi Hashem Elokecha, number 4 on the sheet. Lamadu tshetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shem Yamlichu Aleyem. Avashro v'shatev, dover acher ima b'lo lamadu v'kach k'si lo yerach Elohim achrim al panai. He says, I am the one God, and I'm not very good at sharing. That's why it says, there shall be no other God with me. That's exactly what it is. So according to the Urayim, Christianity, etc., would be, of course, a violation because it is quite simply the first of the Ten Commandments. Right? I am God. Nobody else is God. We're not doing this together. However, interestingly, the Ramah, who we take as a very serious Ashkenazic opinion, seems to indicate that, in fact, it's not that much of a problem. Now, what does it mean it's not that much of a problem? When we talk about the Ten Commandments, who is obligated to follow the Ten Commandments? Jews. Non-Jews do not have to follow the Ten Commandments. Right? Some of them they happen to have to follow also. What? But they have to follow the Noahide laws. And therefore, there is no reason why they have to keep Shabbos, for example. Right? The Sabbath is made one of the top 10. Was even in the top 5. And in fact, it was the non-Jewish community not only doesn't have to, they're strongly discouraged from keeping the Sabbath. Well, that's a question. I mean, that might fall under dinim or something else. There's a possibility that, there's some that, there might be a certain basic amount of morals that they're obligated in. But technically, as far as that commandment goes, no. You're right in that statement. So, I understand that I cannot accept a second God, but we're not talking about Jews. We're talking about non-Jews. So are non-Jews obligated? Let's take a step back. Are non-Jews allowed to worship idols? No, right? So the question but the definition of idol worship for me might be this, but is that the definition for them? Because they are not obligated in the Ten Commandments. The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Nun Vav has a very interesting siman. It gets skipped a lot, it seems, where it says that people should go out and get a job. Right? If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning, it says that you get up in the morning and then you wash your hands and you make an al netilas yadayim and you go to the bathroom and you make an asher yatzer and then you daven. It goes through the Seder Hayom, this typical order there. Okay, so I got up, I went to the bathroom, I davened, if on the laning day I laned, I did the Birchas Kodim when I was supposed to. Okay, I'm good to go now. Now what happens next? So the Shulchan Aruch says, now you go to work. You ready? You've davened, you had your breakfast, you had your Wheaties, you're good to go? Now get out of here. That the bottom line is if you don't go to work, it's going to be bad. Right? This is not a popular siman in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? And he goes on by this. He says that it's absolutely necessary, the Shulchan Aruch says, that a person, after you dive in the morning, you do what you have to do, you go to work. However, he says, just because I just packed up and worked doesn't mean that I left the Torah behind. You have to be honest in your dealings, right? There's a certain way you have to act even then. And he goes through some of the halachas. And there's a lot written on this. I have been tempted, and I'm still tempted, to give an entire semester course in the business school just on this siman. I think I could get a whole semester out of it. Just in basic business ethics that you learn from this. Now, if we skip to the Ramah, that's the one in the smaller print. It says, last line of the Shulchan Aruch. The last one's interesting. It says, be careful not to have non-Jewish partners. Why shouldn't I have a partner? This is interesting. Sometimes partners have a falling out. And I turn around and say, wait a second, the division of profits, you owe me, or you didn't pay your bills, right? It's not uncommon for two partners to end up in court. What's going to happen if you end up in court? You're going to have to swear. Who's your partner going to swear in whose name? He's going to swear in the name of his God. And there's something that says, "Lo yishama al picha," you should not cause the name of Avodah Zarah to be mentioned. So therefore, if I end up being a partner, there's a strong possibility I'm going to end up forcing the mention of this God. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says, "Hagav yesh mekilim ba'asi yashur fesim akum b'zman hazeh." Says nowadays a lot of people aren't concerned, right? Meshum she'ein akutim b'zman hazeh mishmar be'avodas harilim. They don't really swear in the name of idolatry anymore. Afagad maskim avodas zara, even though they say, "I'll swear in the name of Yashka." Kol makom kavanasam la'osay shemayim va'arish shatim shem shemayim v'davar acher. When they swear to God, you know what? Their God is really the same as our God. So again, what are they going to do? They're going to mention Yashka, right? So he says, Vusfan and Avodah Zarah. They still accept God. That's not a problem. What does it sound like from there? It sounds like that for them, this is not considered idol worship. For us it would be, but for them not. Look at the Olas Tamid, which is a commentary on the Ramah. It says, it's not that they're saying, this is a little Christian theology, and maybe not everybody agrees on this, but the Trinity in their mind is not that they're three equal partners, but there's God on top, and then he's got some family members. But the capo, the tutti capo, is still God. So therefore he says that, this is what they believe. It's wrong. But to turn it around to say that this is idolatry? Nesh, man, not really a problem. So that's what it sounds like from the Ramah. That Christianity, which is what it sounds very much like he's talking about, would be obviously idol worship for a Jew, but not for a non-Jew. The Rambam, it seems, very much disagrees. And the first note, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochovim, the laws of idolatry, starts with a little bit of a history lesson. He starts with a very basic question. God created Adam. Adam was well aware of the fact. Adam had children, right? Two of them didn't make it very long. We care about Chase. God, Adam told his son Chase, you know, now I got here, God created me. Chase has a child, and he tells me, you know what happened? God created Grandpa. Grandpa had me, I had you. He has a kid, great-grandpa, created by God. At what point in history does denial of God become a possibility? How does that happen? Right here, we are dealing off of first-person testimony that there is a God, and God created mankind. So how exactly, at some point in history, did people get an idea that let's remove God from the equation and replace him with fill in the blank, Baal, right, whoever it is. So the rabbi says, here's what happened. Here's the history lesson we're going to start with in the rabbi. B'mei Enosh, in the time of Enosh, which is a few generations down, Tov b'nei Adam, Tov is Godel, that people made a big mistake. That the leaders of that generation, including Enosh, came up with a bad idea. This was their mistake. God created all of these stars, and they also have the zodiac, and this is what the world is based on. Yes. And God gave over power to them, and he put them in the heavens. And they, in fact, are servants of God himself. If God treats them with such respect, we should as well. Right, just like if I was the president of the United States, I'd want you to respect me, and you should also respect my vice president, Kamala Harris. Right, right. So whatever it is, so obviously, right, it's a way of showing respect. Right, you should respect my Secretary of State. You should respect my Secretary of the Treasury. You should respect my daughter who actually runs the country. Right. That's a sign of respect to the president. So therefore they figured, well, if God has these underlings, we should respect the underlings as well. And they started, okay, we'll make a little temple for the stars. We'll offer them a sacrifice. Not because we think they're God, but it's our way of showing respect to God. They thought this is what God wanted. But since they added something to God, that was the original idolatry. So the people understood, saying that we're doing this in order to honor God. But the people down the line weren't as intellectual about it. Lo shame amru she'ein Hashem Eloka Eloha Ela Kochav Zeh. Who she Yirmiyo Amr Miyiro Yerucha Melcha Goyim Ki Rechoya Asa Ki B'chol Chachma Goyim B'chol Malchusa Me'ein Kamocha B'chas Yivar V'yichaslu Musa V'haverim Eitzu Koma Kol Yodim She'at Levatcha Aval Te'uzim K'sirosam She'udam Zeh Ahevel Ritzoncha. He says, so this is how it started. It started because they wanted to worship God, and they thought that worshiping God's underlings would be a way of showing respect to God. And because of that, right, eventually they lost sight of what they were really doing. And that led ultimately to Avodah Zarah. According to the Rambam, what was the original idol worship? God plus the stars. Right, the original idol worship, according to the Rambam's understanding of history, was God plus. And therefore, the Rambam clearly understands that God plus is idol worship. Now, the generations we were talking, were they Jewish? Was Enosh Jewish? No, they hadn't even invented Jewish yet. Right? The ideas of pickles and corned beef were a twinkle in a mind's eye. Nobody even heard of it yet. Right? There was no gefilte fish yet in the world. Right? So therefore, you see from the Rambam that God plus is considered idol worship, A. And B, you see that even for non-Jews it is. Therefore, the Rambam himself, at the beginning of the second parak, says, you shouldn't be worshiping angels, not zodiac, not the stars, not earth, wind, and fire. Even if you're doing it to get to God. Because this is the mistake that Enosh made. So therefore, the Rambam is very clear in his opinion that not only can Jews have God plus, because that's idol worship, but for non-Jews, that's idol worship as well. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it would seem that, according to this opinion, modern-day Christians are considered idol worshippers. In fact, the Me'il Tzedakah says that, based on this, I don't understand what the Ramah is saying. How could the Ramah say that this is Avodah Zarah? Yes. So we haven't discussed, we will discuss Islam. B is, I don't think there is such a letter, because even if you tell me that Islam is not Avodah Zarah for Muslims, non-Jews, obviously everyone agrees it's Avodah Zarah for Jews. That's why I don't think that there is such a letter out there. I don't think the Rambam ever encouraged people to convert to Islam. I'd be surprised if the Rambam encouraged people to convert to Islam.
That's called a lot, that the Rambam wrote this letter.
I am not familiar with it. Okay. But we will get around to discussing Islam. So if you look at the Me'il Tzedakah, the Me'il Tzedakah, we'll do it outside, says that, you know, the bottom line here is, it seems very clearly that the Rambam, at least, understands that Christianity, or what we call Shituf, is Avodah Zarah, not only for Jews, but even for non-Jews. And he says, now, it could be, he says, that the Ramah could be understood a different way. What did the Ramah say? The Ramah never got up and said what Christianity is or isn't. He said that in the event that I cause a Christian to swear in the name of his God, right? That is not considered lifnei iver. It's not considered putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. That doesn't mean he's allowed to do it. It just means it's not my problem. So he says, I don't think the Rambam meant that, but there are people who understand it that way. But he said, but the Rambam definitely disagrees. And in fact, if you look at the Rambam in his commentary on Maseches Avodah Zarah, he's very, very, very clear in what his opinions are regarding the Christians. The first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about Lifnei Edeim. It says that you're not allowed to do business with non-Jews 3 days before their non-Jewish holidays. So the Rambam said, what does that mean practically? So he says, starting from three lines in the bottom of number 10, what's an example of a non-Jewish holiday? Sunday. What's he talking about there? What religion is he talking about? Christianity or real football fans? Right. So he said that it's they said because Dame Shalakum. If you also lossy Shimakum, Shemami Be'echa B'Shabbos, Chal Mishum Dover Valko, you know, Gimon Be'echa B'Shashma, you know, Gimon Be'echom Mazalos Be'yomay Dame. Every Sunday of the week, if you have people who follow that Sunday is a holy day, right, is considered a non-Jewish holiday like any other form of idolatry. What is the Rambam saying? He's clearly saying that this is considered a day of idolatry, not only for us, but it's for them as well. And in fact, it's the implication would seem to be that Christianity is considered idol worship as far as the Rambam is concerned. The Rambam spells it out a little bit later in the third Mishnah, where he turns around and he says, goes through the list of, same idea, let's go to the second line. V'dash, zos ha'uma ha'notzris. What notzri? What? Christian. Why are they called notzrim? Right, because they followed the Nazarene. Right, so clearly he's not making any secrets about what he's talking about here. He said this: the nation of Christianity, ha'omedes b'tainas ha'mashiach, who hold that they have somebody who was the Messiah. In case you have any doubt, who he's talking about? Al-chilov kitosel kulam ovdei avodah zarah. They are all considered idol worshippers. Ve'deim kulam asurim. And all of their holidays fall into this category. Right? He said, therefore, lefichach, next line, ein mutar lases im ma'amin ha-mashiach b'yom ha-rishon. You can't do business with someone who believes that the Messiah has come on Sunday. And not only that, kal b'dovah min hazvam, elo nogim imam b'yom rishon, k'mo shangim odeichol b'yom edom. Period. No doubt about it. The Rambam is exceedingly clear that he holds that Christianity is idol worship for the Christians as well. Very interesting. Very interesting. If you look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, it's not as clear. And the reason it's not as clear is because someone got their hands on the Mishnah Torah. I will show you now number 11, number 12 and number 13. These are both the fourth halacha in the ninth chapter of the Rambam's Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. One is the standard print, and the second is the Frankel edition, which goes back to the original manuscripts. A typical Rambam that you pull off the shelf here will say, Kananim Ovdei Kochavim Uzalosheim. That Canaanites are idol worships, or Yom Rishon Hu Yom Edom. He says, and Sunday is their holiday. That is what it says in our version of it. However, if you look at the Frankel version, which we also have on the shelf here in Idos, he changes the first word. Instead of saying Canaanites, it says Anotrim. Right? So therefore, he says that in fact it is not Canaanites. But the Rambam talks about Christians. He wrote about it in the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam was very clear in his opinion, Christianity is Avodah Zarah, not only for us, but even for them. What? Because according to it's a violation of one of the seven Noahide laws. Right. So the Rambam is very clear that he's beyond the pale. Yes.
So how did that come to be? Why Canaanites?
Because obviously a Christian censor took out the word notrim and plopped in Canaanites. So that's why, and to this day, the majority of the versions have Canaanites there. Gemara, many, not always, but there's a sefer called Dikduke Sofrim, which has which puts back the missing pieces, and happens to be this past year in in yeshiva, we did Avodah Zarah. And from time to time, I would reach into the Diktuke's office and show the guys. So just like the Gemara got censored, the Rambam was heavily censored. And it's...
Why would they bother censoring our books? I mean, are they that... They weren't that far-reaching, were they? Or were they?
They spent a lot of time censoring our books.
Well, I know that.
And, you know, up to the Aruch HaShulchan was significantly censored, and he lived in the 20th century.
As far as the start to convert Jews and in all their texts, it denounces the Christians. But if you denounce Canaanites or star worshippers, then maybe you can accept the Jewish, and then that was their goal.
Got it.
Now, this halacha that we quoted from Aruch Chaim, that when you go to business, you should try to avoid, according to the Shulchan Aruch, making a partnership with a non-Jew, lest it lead to him mentioning the name of him, of the, right? So that obviously appears as well in Yoredeya. In Yoredeya is this, you can find the halachas regarding oaths. So the same halacha appears there. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "Also ligra mo'obek chom sheyidur o sheyishra b'shem avodas kochavim." Says it flat out. And the Ramah just says, look what I said over there. Ayin Baruch Hayim. That's what he said. It doesn't go through the whole thing again. Just take a look over there.
So that thing where people like home bakery, and they like having a non-Jewish partner because the Pesach, they're not then owning or benefiting.
On the other hand, nowadays they don't swear by God. They even took the word God out of the oath. You swear to God, you can go through
that. Right?
They mean to say, so help you God.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go back to that?
Just swear.
Right. So again, in the event, what Alex is saying correctly is if we don't swear nowadays, obviously it's not a problem.
Right.
The Pisrei Tshuva comments on the Ramah in number 15. And he says, so he says, let me save you the flipping of the pages. I'll tell you what Rama says there. He says that you don't have to worry about it nowadays. However, he says, the Noda B'Yehuda says, no. Everyone's saying is that, you know, in fact, it's fine. Christianity isn't idol worship. He says that's wrong. He said they got it from the Ramah. He says, what, like right now, if a Christian would come up and they had the old nusach of the oath, he say, I state your name, do solemnly swear. Right? To tell the truth, to hold the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Right? Who's God for him? His God is my God. No, so he's saying that you know, so assuming that his God is my God and he's only swearing in the name of God, that's fine. Only if I mention, so only if he's going to say...
And plus.
Right. You should know the majority of the opinions out there, overwhelming majority, say that you can say the word Jesus.
Really?
Right. Right? Because that's Yashka, that's all what it means.
Not to see.
Correct. That's the part, right. Right. So you can get up and says, Jesus saves, but Esposito puts in the rebound. So, or the like.
And why is that so attractive?
What? What? Well, that means Lord.
Oh, it does mean Lord?
Yes. Like, to be christened is to be made the king.
Okay.
So the Pisrei Tshuva shows here clearly that the Noda B'Yehuda wrote that no, in fact, you can't tell me that this is allowed. That in fact it's not true. The Meiri has a fascinating statement. In the Meiri's opinion, it deserves a shiur unto himself. We said, as a matter of of given that the word Notzri means Christian, right? Notzri is from the word Nazarian. The Meiri says that's actually not true. You know what Notzri is short for? Nebuchadnezzar. What? What? Nebuchadnezzar, right, who got a big bottle of wine named after him, was the Babylonian king who destroyed the temple. And in fact, he would worship the sun. And therefore, his favorite day of the week was Sunday. That's what Meiri says. When we're talking, the Rambam's talking about the Notzrim who follow Yom Rishon, he doesn't mean the Christians. He means the Nebuchadnezzarans, right? That they worship Sunday because they like the sun. But the Rambam never, ever said this. There's a fair amount of discussion of whether the Meiri meant this or not. Was he being serious? Did he really believe this? Or was this just an attempt to stop his neighbors from burning down his house? Right? So there are articles written about this. Rabbi Blech wrote about it. Very fascinating stuff. But the opinion of the Meiri is that we cannot take the Rambam's opinion on Christianity to be true because he's not talking about that. Very difficult to accept the Meiri. We'll just say that the Meiri's opinion is unlikely. When we talk about Notzrim, when we talk about Yom Rishon, especially if we look at the Rambam, who says they believe that he is the Messiah, it's very hard to accept that, in fact, he's talking about anything but Christians. Very... So it's interesting. The Meiri, my father-in-law, he should live and be well, is very into the Meiri. He collects first editions of the Meiri. It's a very fascinating idea. The Meiri was lost to us, by and large, for many centuries. Right? The Meiri was written in the 14th century. We started getting them back in the 18th century. And over the last 200 years, I think we've pretty much completed this set at this point. What, Spain? Yeah. That was bad. 14th century Spain. I nailed that one. See, there you go. Even a blind squirrel sometimes finds a lone acorn. The idea that the Meiri was censored, when? So odd, because he was missing for all the good censor years. That's one issue. It's interesting. So I was saying that the Chazon Ish has a fascinating opinion. The Chazon Ish says we don't follow the Meiri. Because if God took him out for a few centuries, there's probably a reason for that. It's an interesting thought. But what? I understand, but he just wasn't part of the discussion when all the kill kids were around. So, as I said, I'm not going to do this Meiri justice. Right? And again, it's interesting. A lot of times, I mentioned the Chaya today, that, I spent the whole year giving Shir in a Masechta, and invariably, at some point, over the summer, some of my favorites will make their way out. I very much enjoyed Avodah Zarah. I learned a lot from it. But for some reason, you all got fresh material this year. Right? This is the first shiur that I'm talking about Avodah Zarah at all. But over the year, I took the opportunity to look into a lot of these issues. The issue of entering the church, can a person enter a church? Can a person enter a mosque? What about the Maras HaMachpelah? Right? Because that is a mosque nowadays. Right? There's a lot... But one thing that really fascinated me, and one day I'll probably give a share about it, is there's a three-way machlokas as to when did the Christians start worshiping, move from Shabbos to Sunday, right? Christians were originally Jews, and they have the Ten Commandments like we have the Ten Commandments. And it says Shabbos. When did they wake up one day and decide, we're going to bump off Shabbos for a day. It's going to be Shabbos Sheni Shel Golius. Right? We're going to move it over one day. When did that happen? And, you know, the fact that there were three opinions of this, it bothered me because I assumed this was like an olive-based question. Like you say, any, you know, Tinak Bar Bey Rav that goes to Sunday school could probably tell you this. And I looked it up, and I was shocked to find out that among Christian scholars are the same three opinions. They themselves don't know how they did it. Yes. That is one of the opinions. It's a fascinating idea. Some people, you should know, by the way, there are both yourselves. There's Peter, there's Paul, no Mary.
There is Mary, but not
Mary. she does not get it. This is not, right.
Well, so what
are the three opinions? Right, so again, it's a little off the topic, but one opinion is what Graham just said, that we actually move them. It's what it comes down to.
I didn't hear that. Is that what happened? We moved them?
What? We moved them.
How do we do that?
The idea was that there's a medrash. Right? And again, the value of this medrash is questionable. The medrash appeared in the 20th century, as far as I know. So again, I'm not kidding. But everybody knows about it because it's such a great story, is that at one point in early Christian history, we were very similar. Traditional Judaism and Christianity were very similar, right, at the beginning. And therefore, people were kind of bouncing, like, you know, like Ashkenaz Sfarad. It was Christian. That's kind of what they were doing. And there was a concern about it. And therefore, the Chachamim wanted to drive a wedge to make it clear they're different. So therefore, we sent one of our men on the inside to make a radical change. Right? According to the Medrash, I could show it to you. He actually gets up and he does these miracles and says, yes, I am the Talmud Muvak of Yashka. And he told me the following things, and we all have to follow it. And one of the things he got up and said is, Shabbos is Sunday. So the difference is either Peter or Paul. That one of them was actually a firm guy who had just infiltrated one of the apostles. So that's one approach. So we're the ones who actually decided to move them. What? Yes. Yes. He was a busy man. You had a lot to do.
Can you
keep
the other two?
So it's very interesting. Another one is that Yashka himself did it. Right. That he himself actually moved it. And the third one is it didn't happen until Constantine. And if anyone knows about Constantine, right? Constantine fought a great battle. And what was the vision that he had? What? He saw the sun, right? The sun rose in a certain place, and he saw that as a vision that he was going to be victorious. And therefore, he, as a person who worshipped the sun so much, introduced Sunday, right? Which is kind of like the Meiri, actually, oddly enough. So it's an interesting discussion, all of it. But here we have, this is the Meiri. The Meiri deserves more. He's not getting more, at least not now. Now, just to give you an idea of the hand of the censor, look at the Aruch HaShulchan, as we said, which was published in the 20th century. When he quotes this, "Harizon miraso shutfus im aravi," be very careful not to make any partnerships with Arabs. Shem Yisrael v'oshvu yishav v'shviyosav avol v'shem lo yisham alpicha. Now, tell me, where did the Aruch HaShulchan live? Belarus. How many Arabs were running around the streets of Belarus at the time? Not that many. This was before, you know, where the peace treaty was signed. So he in fact says that, yeah, the reason that you might be allowed to do business with them is because it's not Rifnei Iver. Indicating that what? You put it together, he's saying that they are over there, Avodah Zarah. He was able to sneak in, actually a bigger knock without them noticing.
I'm sorry, say it again.
So we said, there's a discussion whether or not you can, is there a problem if they swear, right? So the Ramah says no. Now there's two reasons why no. Is it because that's not considered idol worship for them? Or is it because that's not considered putting a stumbling block? But it really is idol worship. He says it's not putting a stumbling block. But because it's not a stumbling block, that indicates it is idol worship. So, again, if you play it out, that's what he got in there. The last three sources are regarding Islam. The Quran clearly was never, ever, ever censored. So he's starting from the last word on the fourth line. He said, Mekan Shakadoshim Shalkutim. Therefore, the priests of the Kutites, meaning Christians, Begam Hamashuga Shalayishmaelim. And that nut job who the Arabs are following. They don't believe that Muhammad is the God. That is considered idolatry, even though they're not worshiping him because they bow down to him. Just to give a little bit of an idea where this idea comes from, to give some context to it, he's talking about why didn't Mordechai bow down to Haman? Haman didn't say that he was a god, right? He yelled, "He's a holy man." So he said, no, anyone you bow down to, that's a problem of Avodah Zarah, whether they say they're God or not. So he said, so too, the Muslims will bow down to Muhammad, to the Meshuga Shal Yishmaelim. Clearly that didn't get censored. And therefore, as I said, I'm not an expert but assuming they're bowing to Muhammad, which is his assumption, then that would be a problem. The Rambam, however, when discussing Islam, says, interesting, Ger Toshav should keep a Rosh Sheva mitzvos, a non-Jew who accepts that he'll keep the seven Noahide laws. So we said, in general, when a non-Jew pours wine, it makes it not kosher. What does it mean it's not kosher? Does it mean it's not kosher, you can't drink it? Or does it mean it's not kosher, you can't get any benefit from it? Right? For example, I cannot eat pig, but I can get benefit from pig. Right? I cannot eat milk and meat, and I cannot get benefit from milk and meat. Right, so there's a difference. So this wine poured by a non-Jew, is it like you can't drink it, or is it like you can't drink it and you can't benefit from it? So the Rambam writes, a non-Jew who follows the seven Noahide laws, which means he does not actually worship idols, right? He says, Yeno asa b'shtiya muta b'hanaya. You can't drink the wine, but you can't benefit from it. So, and therefore, you know, there's certain things you don't have to worry about. And therefore, he said, and any non-Jew, who does not worship idols, like the Muslims, you can't drink their wine, but you can get benefit from it. You can open up a non-kosher wine store. That's the chen horo kol ga'onim. Ava osim ha'odim avod chabam stam yinim osim b'hanoya. In the event that they do worship idols, then you can't get benefit. The Rambam there is being very clear that he does not believe it. Even though he's clear that Christianity is avodah zarah, the Rambam seems to be very clear that Islam is not avodah zarah. That being said, the Ritva said, don't make that mistake that somebody might make. He said, Kosov Odzal, the religion of the Ishmaelites. Even though, right, they in fact only are monotheistic, they keep one, follow one God, still it's idolatry that you should die over. Because if you accept Islam, you're denying the Torah as it is. A denial of the Torah is idol, is idolatry. You Kemoda she'ena torasla emes lotzir kashrus shmoras Shabbos. Kach shamati. You bar mikol dein haicha befar hesi yergal yavor. I can roshon harav yam to resolve. So he gets up and he says, yeah, maybe for a non-Jew it wouldn't be avodah zara, but for a Jew it's absolutely avodah zara, even if it's a matter of giving up your life for it. Again, that's not the Rambam, that's the Ritva. But he's very clear. They said, don't get confused. There's two different questions here. The question is, question number one, is this avodah zara for Jews? Is it avodah zara for non-Jews? We said, look at the Urim. Any one of these is avodah zara for Jews. When it comes to non-Jews, that's a question. The Rambam makes a split. Says that Islam is not avodah zara. Christianity is avodah zara. Right? Some people disagree. Right? The Rambam may very well be saying, this is an argument, that Christianity is also not avodah zara for them. But that's questionable. But that's only as far as they're concerned. As far as we're concerned, it's undoubtedly avodah zara. Okay?